From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes. Glad to have you with us on a Friday afternoon as we spotlight the city of Chamblee. A lot of good business being done there, a lot of development. We really wanted to dig in as we have with some of the other areas around DeKalb County. So we got a great panel coming up. Before we introduce them, I want to remind you that DeKalb Business Radio is on social media. Follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. We're on Facebook as well. And if you missed the show live, you can catch our podcasts, free downloads on our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com, and on iTunes as well. I mentioned the panel. Let's go ahead and introduce them. And we start with Brock Fisher. He is the president of the Chamblee Chamber of Commerce. Brock, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much, Matt. It's nice to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the chamber, a little bit about its membership.
Well, the chamber was chartered in December of 2013, and we currently have 154 members, and our slogan is Moving Chamblee Forward Together, and it's an exciting time. Chamblee is a 106-year-old city, and to date has not had a chamber until these last couple years, so it was an extension of the Chamblee Business Association, and we turned into a formal chamber at that time.
You had a hand in the creation?
I'm a charter member and one of the founders as well.
So what was that like getting it started up?
It was a very exciting time, especially because Chamblee is in what I would call its third act, and it's just a lot of things are happening. The annexation, the reemergence of the economy just coming back, and we have also a very, very diverse community, so it's just lots of challenges, but I look at all those challenges as opportunities.
So. Well, we'll look forward to talking with you more about the chamber and the good things you're doing. But one of the businesses that's helping things there in Chamblee, certainly making their mark, is Jim Ellis. And Mark Frost is with us. He's the Jim Ellis VP of Operations for GM Brands. You follow them on Twitter at Chevy Leader. The website is jimellis.com. Mark, appreciate you being here.
It's good to be here.
So Jim Ellis, I mean, you talk about names around the Atlanta area that are synonymous with cars. I mean, that's one of the big ones. Tell us about the footprint you have around Metro Atlanta.
Jim Ellis has 8 dealerships in Chamblee, plus a central collision center on Peachtree Road, right behind the Hennessy dealership. And we also have 4 dealerships out in Kennesaw, Marietta, and one up in Beaufort. So 13 stores and 1 collision center. We employ about 1,000 people. And this year we'll sell about 25,000 cars. And, we should do in sales about $1 billion. So this should be our first $1 billion year in sales. And about 2/3 of that is from, 60% of that is from the Chamblee campus.
Tell us about doing business in Chamblee and in DeKalb County. Why that site for all the dealerships?
Well, it's interesting because 11 years ago when I came to the organization, the big talk was that the area was on the decline. Everyone needs to get out. Everyone needs to move. It's over. And of course, Mr. Ellis, the person I work for, Jimmy Ellis, and Mr. Ellis, they saw it differently. And in the last 5 years, they've spent, I'd say, tens of millions of dollars renovating every single store that we have in Chamblee. And the area has just really come alive. And it's an exciting time for us.
You've been with the company 11 years. But we were 11. Talking off the air before. The Jim Ellis dealership has been around longer than many of us have been around.
Since 1971.
Impressive.
Right? Yeah.
That's impressive. We'll look forward to learning more about Jim Ellis and the things they're doing in the Chamblee area coming up over the course of the show.
Okay.
Our third guest is Adam Causey, the Economic Development Manager for the City of Chamblee. The website, ChambleeGA.com. Adam, appreciate you being here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So talk about some of the exciting things that are going on development-wise.
Where do I start? There is a lot going on. I don't think a week goes by that we don't get some kind of proposal for some piece of property that's being underutilized right now. So right now it's about the transformation of Chamblee from an industrial warehouse type of economy to more of a mixed-use retail office environment, things to do. We have our first mixed-use development under construction right now, the Olmsted on Chamblee Tucker Road and Peachtree Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And that area around the MARTA station has seen significant activity with office proposal that is should be coming to us soon, as well as a new medical mixed-use facility on a currently vacant piece of property. And then any day now, the construction for the new Whole Foods development on Peachtree Boulevard at Johnson Ferry Road, called Peachtree Crossing, will start to come out of the ground. That's about 100,000 square feet of retail anchored by Whole Foods, along with Chipotle, Mexican restaurant, Farm Burger, Zoe's Kitchen, and other retail sites that we have maybe never had in Chandler, and excited about what those will bring to our mix now.
It makes sense to say, okay, we want to take Chamblee and we want to do X, Y, and Z to develop it. But is there another city? Is there another locale that you kind of try and model yourself after that's been where Chamblee's been?
None that I'm aware of. I think we're unique just in our location inside the perimeter. That started out rural, and just within the last 100 years, you can track the development trend of Chamblee to a dairy farming community to warehousing industrial. The airport obviously had PDK had a lot to do with the development of it, but we want Chamblee and downtown Chamblee specifically to be that unique little place between some of the larger developments that are happening, like the GM redevelopment and then what's coming up from Buckhead. So we're going to be unique.
Our fourth guest is Van Pappas. He's with the Chamblee Downtown Development Authority. And Van, talk a little bit about, and Adam mentioned Chamblee being a unique place, a unique opportunity to kind of grow things. Talk about that uniqueness.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, Chamblee is unique. I'm a native resident of the area, born and raised. And my very first serious job as a 20-year-old was in Chamblee Plaza. So Chamblee is near and dear to my heart. It's unique because it's got some great benefits that other communities don't have. Geographically, we are in between two major thoroughfares. One of our borders is on 85, the other is on 285. So from transportation, we have great in and out. We have a very robust MARTA station that comes right into our downtown, and we have the second busiest airport in the state with PDK. So we have a lot of benefits of why you would want to locate your business in Chamblee. And the city appointed me to be a representative on their Downtown Development Authority. What we've seen in Atlanta over the last many decades is that businesses have left the downtown of our communities, and with the exodus out to the suburbs and malls and strip malls and outlet centers being built, people, didn't locate their businesses in the downtown corridor. So the Downtown Development Authority was really created to try to attract not only development, but, businesses to come back to our downtown so we could have a walkable, shoppable type of downtown.
You're listening to DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. Matt Holmes looking to spotlight the city of Chamblee and some of the development and growth going on there. And I'll throw it out to the table, but Brock, we'll kind of start with you. The recession, what kind of an impact did that have? Because you go back 7 years ago or so, and certainly we're still feeling the effects. What did that do to Chamblee?
It's interesting. It's sometimes in order to build something new, something else has to be dismantled. So the recession did that for a lot of areas. And earlier when we were talking about Jim Ellis, their investment and their loyalty to the area and their vision in staying on that major corridor, obviously, I think, paid dividends, and it really impacted us when you're talking about the number of sales and that kind of commerce. And also it brings people to us, and that's a good thing. What was interesting about Chamblee is we did experience some housing woes and, mm-hmm. and obviously the stop of new construction. But another thing that a lot of people probably just don't realize is the Buford Highway Corridor, which is, a large part of that is in Chamblee. Throughout the recession, I live in Chamblee, and it was funny that that area was thrumming with activity during the recession. All those little small businesses, there's a micro economy right there on Buford Highway. And that's going to be one of our goals and challenges as a chamber to help unify that community with the broader community on the other side of Buford Highway as well. So the recession, it did make the way for new development, and it went ahead, and there were some businesses and entities that probably weren't doing as well as they would have liked to, and so they moved on, and it opened up this real estate for some of the things that Adam was just speaking about, the mm-hmm. Olmsted and Parkview and some of the others. So it made the way for, you know, for a new day, and that's a good thing. But the future now, looks bright.
Mark, you mentioned that Jim Ellis is coming up on their first projecting $1 billion year in sales.
Correct.
Coming back from a recession, from economic factors like that, what was that like in the car industry?
Well, during the downturn, people may not have been buying newer cars, but they have to fix the ones that they're driving. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to downplay the amount of pain that was out there and the residual pain that's out there that continues. But the truth of it is, it's a good time to buy stuff. And it's a good time to renovate stuff. And it's a good time to invest because you can just do it for less money. And that's typically our pattern. You know, we save our money when times are good, and then we spend it when there's a downturn, and it's we get more value. And that's how Mr. Ellis has run his business for 45 years now. And he obviously has a very deep commitment to Chamblee. I mean, every single building, I don't know if you've, well, it's the Porsche building when it's done to actually over the line in Doraville, so I don't think we need to talk about that. But I mean, it's all the manufacturers have these facility image programs, and we've done each one of and have been the showcase nationally. Actually, our dealership in Buford, the national Buick GMC commercials you see on TV, they were filmed at our dealership because he builds really nice dealerships. And I think you probably saw the Audi store. But it's cyclical. I mean, we all know every, 6 to 9 years, there's going to be a downturn. So we plan for that. And there's always minimal layoffs. You know, just if you run your business in a very conservative, tight way, then you're able to endure those. And but like I said, during the recession, people need the cars fixed, you know, and we deal a lot more with customers in terms of their budgets at the time, of course, or less. And so, you know, we make a lot of concessions that builds a lot of goodwill. So it's just an ongoing part of the Jim Ellis promise to take care of the community and take care of our customers.
How about on the development side, Adam and Van? I mean, the economy is still far from humming. I mean, it's still recovering. How does that impact as you try and attract new business or come up with those ideas for business or residential developments?
Well, I think the recession, it was kind of a restart for a lot of cities. I've worked in numerous cities, and you have to make really hard choices during times when you're not getting that revenue. And the way that cities get their revenue, it kind of lags even when a recession's over. So most cities aren't back there, just like a lot of people probably aren't at the employment they were before the recession. And so we understand that, but it gives Chamblee an opportunity to diversify its economy. So when the next recession happens, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe the impacts aren't felt as deep. So the city formed the Downtown Development Authority and is looking at other ways to make sure that we stay on top of trends, that we are making the right kind of investments, having creative incentives that will draw the right kind of, you know, that creative economy, that long-term economy that we want to see in a vibrant town. It's not just about downtown. It's about having those retail assets and the car dealerships and the things that really the engine of a city's commercial economy. Going forward, you know, doing things like strategic planning for those 5-10 years out, things you can do in a recession or in boom times, that's what we're looking at.
Van, how about for you? I mean, Mark mentioned their 6 to 9 year cycle that the economy goes in. How do you plan ahead?
Well, you know, I'm a financial planner by day. Oxygen Financial is who my business is with. And, you know, one of the things that I think Chamblee has an advantage of is we're attracting a younger demographic. Because we're not Buckhead, we're not Brookhaven, our housing is more affordable. And so the millennials are saying, hey, I don't want to live way out. I want to live inside 285, but I can't afford to live in Buckhead. So they are moving to Chamblee in droves. And I think that's a huge benefit because we have to understand that millennials are a huge demographic. They are going to be bigger than baby boomers as far as the size. They are going to drive our economy. What is bought is going to be based on their views and their feelings. And we have to cater to that, and we need to drive our businesses to say, hey, listen, we have young people coming in and moving in. here's a reason why you want to locate your business here, because that's the demographic you need to be going after.
Brock, when you've got these new businesses coming into the area and the development, how do you reach out to them to become a part of the Chamber of Commerce and to get them to be involved in their local government?
Well, part of it is just basically grassroots, word of mouth, networking. We're working to develop a closer relationship with the city, with the Economic Development Department. Adam and I have endeavored to, you know, have a meeting every once in a while, so to be sure that we're all on the same page. And basically, I think every city needs a strong chamber. It's a soft place to land if you want to come and get information and get a feel for what's going on. That's the central place to do that. I have to say that our city does a tremendous job of communicating and giving information to people in a way that is easily understood, and that they have really elevated that as far as some cities go. So it's a comfortable arrangement, and I think that it allows us to do that very effectively.
Are there initiatives or plans for the future that you're working on with the Chamber of Commerce? You mentioned you're not quite even 2 years old.
Yeah, we're definitely like any other young organization. You know, you crawl, then you walk, then you run. So we're somewhere between crawling and walking. And that's what it comes down to. Is, you know, obviously you have to build your brand, and you have to build confidence, and you have to build relationships so that you can stand on your works and back up what you say. And so that's what we're trying to do right now, is to obviously continue to grow our membership and just actively promote what we do. So,
Mark, you've been in the business, like you said, 11 years there at Jim Ellis. Why has it been important for you all to be involved in the community?
Well, it's the hallmark of Jim Ellis. I mean, what we're supposed to do is do better at what we do so we can give more back to the community. And that's just been the basis, the cornerstone of the Jim Ellis and what he does. You know, hire more people and put more people to work for in a good place to work. But just getting back to Chamblee and what it has to look forward to, I think some of this is natural. Have you sat on 85 southbound out of Gwinnett at 8 o'clock in the morning? People just don't want to do that anymore. I did. I lived way out there, and I'm building a house in Brookhaven right now because it is horrible. Even with the Peach Pass from Gwinnett, the Kula area, it took me an hour and a half to get to Chamblee. So I think we're going to benefit greatly with that. And we watch this closely because I know Chamblee doesn't want to have all car dealerships. I mean, but the more businesses that you attract that are, you know, the Whole Foods and the other ones that you mentioned earlier, that's good for us too. It brings workers and it brings residents there, and it brings the value of the homes up. So it's we're very excited now. I'd say 10 years ago when I came, Chamblee was just the local government, and then even 5 years ago, it was didn't know so much if they really liked us car dealers, and that has completely evolved into something totally different. And you know, we've worked with Tom Hogan. He's just done a wonderful job in helping advance and help us at what we're trying to do. And Mark Johnson, the city manager, we had you know how cars are transported on carriers, and well, it sits up tall, so there's some trees over on Peachtree Road that were hitting the cars, and I asked him, can you help me with that? Well, the next morning they were gone. Well, he didn't cut the trees down, because we know about trees, but he did trim them back so that the carrier could go under it, and then actually he missed a few branches, so he came out the next day or sent his guys out and did it. So the support is just absolutely gone from, you know, just maybe average to stellar. They're very, you know, everyone's been very responsive and really helped us a lot. So it's good to see that they've evolved from just the local city government to enthusiastic business partners.
That's awesome. You're listening to DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. Mark, I want to ask you specifically about your business. I mean, I remember growing up as a kid on a Saturday or a Sunday, you know, mom and dad are looking for a new car, and so we drive around to car dealerships and kick the tires, test drive, that kind of thing. We didn't have the option to go look at cars online and internet shop and that sort of thing. Are you still seeing a lot of foot traffic at these dealerships, or is more being pushed to JimEllis.com?
It's well, the way you track it, because now how do you track that? But what we're saying right now is 60% of our business is definitely from the internet, but we all know it's probably 90, because, you know, Bob and Joanne Smith get online and say, well, they've got a bunch of those nice Corvettes, let's just go down there. So it's really it's all emanating from there. So I'd say 90 of it, and there's some people that just don't like that. So there's very, very little foot traffic, and statistically we track all that. So yeah, everyone's doing their tire kicking virtually now.
What's your strategy for getting the word out, advertising wise?
Well, it's shifted. I mean, we do a lot of broadcasts, but it's shifted to about, I'd say we're about 40% now digital. You know, we're one of the companies that irritatingly follow you around everywhere you go on the internet, which I think is creepy, but I guess that's what you have to do to get in front of people now, because the problem with advertising is, where do you go? I mean, there's so many. It's not just billboards, newspapers, TV, and radio anymore. There's and now with addressable TV, that's on cable, that's a whole different thing. You can actually target specific households and hit their cell phone at the same time they're watching a show that's that your ad's running on, and send you an email. I mean, it's all getting really spooky, but so about, it's going to go to probably next year about half digital, but we still enjoy doing radio and TV to drive them to the websites, though.
Sure. It comes up with the name recognition and that
right.
sort of thing. I do want to ask you, you see on TV, and I think I saw it last week, the reality of the driverless car, different mm-hmm. new technologies that are out there. Are you tracking that?
We're living that. The Tahoe, well, the Yukon Denali I'm driving right now has interactive cruise control, and it automatically slows down if you go over a line in the road either side. The left to right seat buzzes and lets you know, and when you're backing up, if a car is coming from right, left, or back, it senses it. And if you're coming up too fast on a car, there's this big red thing that comes up. So it's all V2V, and it's happening. But and I understand that Tesla.
Oh yeah.
They came out with autopilot, which is the closest thing to driverless car. It'll do some of it. But do you have $120,000? And that's the problem with it. And, you know, and then the other thing is the problem I have just from a consumer like everyone else is, okay, so everyone's driverless cars, but what about Billy Bob coming out the side street in a cement truck, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just a little leery. I think they're going to have driverless zones before they just unleash this to the public.
Do you even dare speculate about what's next technologically? I mean, these car shows are always showing something new.
Well, it's amazing because it takes so long to deliver a car now. I mean, it's like basically delivering, you have to deliver the car and you have to deliver the technology. The car, we can show people stuff in about a half an hour, but the technology, takes anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, and then we have online videos, and then we have owner clinics where you come back, and people are still scratching that. I shouldn't say this publicly, but I'm one of the people going down the road now. How does that work? How do you get there? My Apple's not connecting. What did I do? I mean, it's so much. It's and I think maybe that's, you know, a problem. And I remember this one 80-year-old woman. She was sitting in the car, and it had this complex nav and, you know, the Bluetooth and all that. And she goes, I don't care about that. I just show me how to turn the darn radio on. And in terms of, you were talking about millennials, I mean, younger people, they expect this. So there's not really a car out there anymore that doesn't have a wide variety of technology that's available on it. And it's, as it keeps coming, it's going to keep coming.
Jim Ellis has its footprint there in Chamblee. I want to talk about the downtown area a little bit for Adam and Van. What is your pitch to businesses to come and to build, to move into the downtown area? What do you tell them?
To be on the ground floor of something really cool, a true mixed-use district that is coming out of the ground right now. And we have an opportunity to kind of make your mark and be that business that hasn't been in the area before, because it was more of an industrial warehouse type environment. And so now we're seeing some restaurants pop up, and they're very popular. They're very good. Part of the reason they're very proper is because there's probably not a lot of competition. We're seeing more of that coming in. But if you've got a quality product and you know how to market it, then we've got space for you, and we think you're going to be happy there for a long time. Along with that, with just the changing development type into this mixed-use environment where we're seeing more apartment housing, we're getting that too. And so we're starting to build our market into downtown Chamblee, where those people want to live within walking distance of the MARTA station, you know, to get to their job or what have you. But it's also walkable within downtown Chamblee. We've got, you know, a great street and sidewalk network. We're starting, it already exists. We're creating, elongating, I guess, our rail trail. We have our own kind of mini belt line there already, and it's only about 3/4 of a mile long, but it will get much longer and go through the center of downtown and really be an amenity for residents, business owners, visitors, whoever.
Van, I would imagine 5-10 years ago, we're not talking about a walkable downtown anything.
No, not at all. And I just wanted to piggyback on what Adam said. And the key word, I think, was we have space. You know, when businesses, you asked about, you know, what do we do to attract those businesses? When one of the reasons Whole Foods is coming to Chamblee is because there was no space in Brookhaven for them to go. Hmm. So, you know, I think when a business looks at it and they say, hey, I want to be in the area, you know, I can't afford the pricing of Buckhead, and I need space, where can I go? Chamblee is a prime place for it.
I want to ask Brock, you mentioned the diversity earlier. Do you have, and I'm thinking specifically about the Buford Highway Corridor. My wife works over at CDC over at the Chamblee campus. And you've got, I mean, every nationality, every type of restaurant. Is there an outreach to those groups that maybe English isn't their first language? Maybe their clientele, English isn't their first language.
Yeah, that's a great question. We have a very large Hispanic population. We have an Asian population, and actually many others. The numbers are very, very strong. We are very diverse. As a matter of course, we have our receptionist and one of our key employees at the chamber is Aurora Santana, and so she helps us with outreach in that area. And we have a founder and a board member who's her name is Charlene Fong, and she's Chinese.
Okay.
So she is also there. So we've already got the native talent to move that forward, and that's even in our slogan is to move forward together. That's really, if you read between the lines, that's what that's about. And once again, just having a strong, diverse economy is key to our city's success. And like I said earlier, in regards to the Buford Highway Corridor, in addition to the good things that are happening with the Downtown Development Authority and with our motor mile, as I'll call it, or that strong presence.
Absolutely.
Up there, all those things just kind of come together. So.
And there are certain infrastructure pieces, I would imagine, that help you to sell business, sell development, draw people to the area as well. You talk about a walkable downtown, but even that Buford Highway Corridor, it's kind of on the vanguard of pedestrianism, where they actually have stoplights for pedestrians.
It is. The active crosswalks, I actually went to a couple of the openings of those, actually a few years ago. And it's vital, because we have a community there that they are pedestrian in nature. They're family oriented, and that is how they move about that area. And it is very important for public safety. Obviously, there's children involved. Everyone crossing that road needs to have some safety, some safe zones in which to do that. And I have to say that the city and the county have done a great job of staying ahead of the curve and to be responsive to that. Initially, it just sort of happens and you don't realize it or react at the right pace. But once again, in the last, I would say, 10 years, that has really accelerated and the awareness has really gone up. So,
on the development side, I know that there have been localities outside of DeKalb that have resisted MARTA. When you guys are talking to companies, getting them to come into Chamblee, how big of a boon is that for you, the fact that you have mass transit?
It is a great resource for us. In fact, one of the projects that will be coming out of the ground over the next year came to us because of the MARTA station. We're have an office development that is going to be coming right across the street from it. It'll be a headquarters of a 70-year-old Georgia business that wanted to relocate inside the perimeter, and the MARTA station was a big reason why. Not just for access for their current employees, but to attract talent down the line when they're, you know, hiring new workers. So that it's critical. But we treat it as a kind of a tapestry of our transportation network. I mean, we've got, Van was talking about our highway access. We just got great bones, I guess, with the way the city is situated now. And now that we've annexed the southern portion of the unincorporated area into Chamblee, including Buford Highway and down Claremont to Century Center, we're well positioned with various modes. If you want to fly into Chamblee, come on down to PDK and fly in. If you want to take a train, then MARTA's there. Amtrak goes through us while we don't have a station. We got a lot of freight that goes through, and then of course driving and walking. So we have it all in Chamblee in terms of transportation.
We're the planes, trains, and automobiles of Atlanta.
How about PDK? Can you overstate the importance of having that there?
No, I think it's hugely important. In fact, I think we sometimes underutilize it and take it for granted. And, you know, I think that's one thing that our city is trying to do a better job of, saying, how do we take this great asset. You know, it's owned by the county. So, you know, how can we use that to our advantage to drive more businesses? And, you know, there's a lot of statistics you can look up online that have shown the number of businesses that have located in the area because of PDK and have said publicly that they would leave if, for whatever reason, the county shut that airport down.
Well, as we wrap up, guys, I want to ask you about the future. If we're doing this show 5 or 10 years down the road, how is Chamblee different? We've talked about how different it was, it is today from a decade ago. How's it different in the future?
Well, I guess I'll go first. The first thing that comes to mind to me is just going to be the connectivity. Like we've already talked about, the MARTA being there, our orientation between those two major highways. The education infrastructure, I think, will only grow. Chamblee High School has just been rebuilt in the last 3 years, and it's a top-rated public high school. It's a charter high school. And we also have several private schools as well in the area. So I think that that will continue to grow, and I think that as our millennials age, a lot of that creativity, I think, will stay. I think as they fall in love and have families, we hope that they won't run away somewhere, that we've provided a place that you'll want to stay and raise your family because of the education, the transportation. Something we haven't mentioned is our proximity to the medical community known as Pill Hill over there near St. Joseph's. It's just a couple miles away if you go by the back roads. It's really close. So we're ready for new families. We're ready for aging in place, which is a major concern with the baby boomers at 70 million strong. Transportation. There's just so many things, I think, that are coming to fruition in our area. And it's a very exciting time to be in Chamblee.
Mark, 10 years from now, when we got all the driverless cars zooming up and down Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, what is Jim Ellis's plans for the future in that area?
Well, I'm thinking we're going to be in the Jetsons car thing.
They'll okay.
be floating in the, you
Flying
don't have
car.
To have your pilot's license, and they'll be all controlled from PDK, and it's just going to be crazy. There won't be tires anymore. You'll have to kick your glass dome on your car.
Of course.
But I think it's going to grow, and I'm confident that the fine folks with Chamblee are going to do it in a well-planned, controlled way, so it just doesn't turn into a growth mess, gridlock kind of thing. I mean, because that's I think Chamblee is I haven't seen any projections, but it's everything that everyone here has been saying. It's just ripe for development, and it's coming, and it's probably going to start coming faster. And it's just a great place to work and live. And so it's, you know, if it's just naturally attractive, people will come to it. So it's going to just keep getting better.
Van, Adam, from a development perspective, what do you see down the line?
Well, I think we'll see in 5 or 10 years, we'll see a true redeveloped downtown that looks nothing like the old warehouse district that it was, with people walking around at all hours of the day, doing their business or living their lives. I think what Chamblee will have will be we'll have great choices of housing types. We've got stable single family neighborhoods. We'll have the apartments and mixed use stuff for people who don't want to own a home. And we'll have various areas where you can start your business. If you want to be in downtown area, we've got that. If you want to be in the office park, we've got Century Center that's going to continue to grow and be an office space. And then we've got Beaver Highway, which is going to be that kind of eclectic, diverse area where you can find anything you want, really, from a retail perspective. So I think it's just going to be a whole lot more choices. And as we work to reach out to our new city, which it's, you know, after the annexation, it's I think 2013, so we're still grappling with having this new 29,000 people city with a very diverse community. So we're going to continue to reach out to residents and have really fun events that no one else has, just leveraging the strength of our citizen population.
Van, I'll give you the last word.
Two things. One, I think it's a great place to start your family. You know, I've lived in the area almost my whole life, and, you know, with a 9-year-old, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. It's got great schools. We've got we haven't even mentioned the fabulous Magnet High School that we have. And, you know, I also wanted to say, you know, Mark had mentioned about Jim Ellis. view about our city and how accommodating we've been and our city manager and all that. But I think it's also, we have to say Jim Ellis has been a great partner too, because, you know, they have stepped up and sponsored just about every event. The local schools get, funding from Jim Ellis for various programs they do. So, you know, it's not just a great place to live, but it's a great place to bring your business, because we got great businesses that partner with each other.
Well, gentlemen, we appreciate you being here today. Brock Fisher, the president of the Chamblee Chamber of Commerce. The website is ChambleeChamber.org. They got a business after hours event coming up on November 10th, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so check that out if you're in the area. Mark Frost, Jim Ellis, VP of Operations for GM Brands. Make sure to check out their website, jimellis.com, on Twitter, at Chevy Leader. And, of course, visit any of their 8 dealerships in and around the Chamblee area. Check out the latest and greatest.
Big sale. Always a big sale.
End of the model big year, sale. By the way, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You seeing a lot more traffic for that?
Always.
Okay. So we'll look forward to that. Adam Causey, the Economic Development Manager for the City of Chamblee. They're on the web, ChambleeGA.com. On Twitter, at Downtown Chamblee, but minus the O's, DWNTWN Chamblee. And then Van Pappas, Chamblee Downtown Development Authority, on the web at DowntownChamblee.com. Want to remind you, this edition of DeKalb Business Today has been brought to you by the Bernellis Insurance Group of Dunwoody. For all your insurance needs, contact Callan and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967, or check out the link on our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. That'll do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today. We'll see you back here next Friday with another great panel of guests. Until then, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time.